Hello, welcome to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Today's lesson is all about what you can do when you find yourself too busy to plan. Now for this lesson, I think it'd be a good idea for you to have a piece of paper and something to write with, because I've got an assignment that I'm going to give you during the lesson today, and you're going to want to take action immediately on this. So I just want to encourage you. I always think it's a good idea to take notes, but for today's lesson in particular, I want to encourage you, if you don't already happen to have a piece of paper handy to be able to take some notes, I want to encourage you to go ahead and start looking at that, try to figure out a way to go about doing that during today's lesson. Now, I know that not everybody learns the way I learn, but I've found that taking notes with a pen or pencil in my hand is actually the most effective way to be able to do that. And it really helps me remember when I take notes with something writing, a writing instrument in my hand. And whatever what you need to do whatever works for you, but I want to encourage you that this is going to be needed for our conversation today. Now, this program, Lead Yourself First, is the system that you have picked to help yourself grow. It's your way of being sure that you're choosing to consistently invest in yourself by making some time for your ongoing development. John Maxwell teaches about the law of intentionality, where he says growth doesn't just happen. And by being a part of this program, you are paying the price to grow. And that really matters. As we're in this lesson, other folks are watching TV, or they're watching TikTok or YouTube, or they're on social media, but not you. You're thinking about growth, and that is something that you will not regret. Now, I always ask at the beginning of these lessons, how are you going to act after this lesson's over? And ACT, A-C-T, Apply, Change, Teach, and I know I say this every time, but it's important. When you're in a learning mode, you want to look for ways that you can maximize your learning every single time. As we're going through this, make some notes about something you can apply, something you might want to change, or something you will teach, and let's take action on that. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to this one in particular because, as I mentioned in a recent lesson, I wish I was less busy, and at the same time, I have this tension because I want to get more done. And we're all busy. All of us are busy. It's a common malady for us. And I guess that often we're too busy to plan. In fact, I would say not only are we too busy to plan, many times I suspect we're too busy to even think. In the next few minutes, we're going to talk about ways that you can begin to get more done. There's a few things we're going to cover in today's lesson, and if you will put those into practice, you're going to see major improvements in the results you get. And that's the power of the Lead Yourself First program. And I also know that maybe you are going to want a way to get some help in making this a reality for you. You're going to want some accountability and some help on your journey. And at the end of today's lesson, if that's you, I'll share with you a way to do that. Fair enough? So let's jump in. You ever feel like you're too busy to plan? I do. I feel that tension all the time. I got so much going on. I got to be busy doing the work. I don't have time to think about doing the work. But one of my favorite quotes on planning is from President Dwight Eisenhower. Now, when Dwight Eisenhower was the commander of the Allied forces during World War II, his job was to plan the invasion of Europe. And it was the largest military campaign that had ever been planned in world history at that time. And as a result, he had a tremendous amount of planning that he had to do. And here's what he has to say about planning. He said, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. Plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." Now, think about that. What is it about planning that's value add? If the plan itself is not useful, why is the planning process indispensable? It's because when we plan, it opens the door for us to think about things in a different way. Dwight Eisenhower had problems where his plans blew up because people blew up his stuff, right? But the planning process had been useful for him because it allowed him to know what other choices were available. And the same thing is true for you. Now, there's another idea that I want to share with you, and it has to do with something that was documented by an Italian economist named Vilfredo Pareto. In 1906, he noted that 80% of the property in Italy was owned by 20% of the people in Italy. And this idea that 20% of something is going to influence or control 80% of something else is pretty common. We call that the 80-20 rule, or the Pareto principle. The idea that 20% is going to control a big amount. Now, how does this apply? Why are we talking about the Pareto principle in today's lesson? Because my guess is that 80% of the results that you get in the work that you do come from a small number of things that you're doing. You know, in the course of your day, there's an awful lot of stuff you have to do. But on the journey of having to do it, there are other things that you do that are actually delivering great value. Some stuff you just kind of have to do to get through it, but there's some stuff that's really valuable. And I would submit to you that there's a good chance that there are a few things that if you did them, they would deliver high value, and there's probably a bunch of stuff that's on your list that delivers low value or maybe even no value. And so what we want to do is be thoughtful about what it is that's delivering value and what's not delivering value, and let's find a way to delegate or delete those things that are not delivering value. So let's talk about productivity, because I love to check things off my to-do list. If I have the opportunity to do that, man, I love being able to mark it done. Do you know the one thing you can do to improve your speed and accuracy? It's slow down. Do less. I have a friend who's involved in sailing, and he says their motto that they apply is slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. That when you are smooth in the things that you do, and the way you get smooth is by slowing down until you're excellent, you slow down, and when you slow down and do less, you actually are higher productivity. Now, that seems like it doesn't make sense. But in lean manufacturing and in agile software development, we talk about limiting the number of things we're trying to do at once. We call that work in progress, or WIP. And by reducing WIP, doing only one thing until it's done, we actually improve our performance. And the science is completely clear on this, that when we try to focus on more than one thing at a time, it actually causes a 40% loss in productivity. You can become 40% more productive simply by doing only one thing at a time. I want to say that again. You can increase your productivity by a factor of 40% if you stop trying to multitask. Multitasking does not work. In fact, if you're distracted by calls or emails and trying to work, that lowers your IQ by at least 10 points. It's the equivalent of missing a night of sleep or double the effect of smoking pot. It's a big deal. And not only that, but every time you stop doing one thing and start doing something else and then go back to the first thing again, that changing your context, that context switching, it's very expensive. These interruptions cost you efficiency. So by slowing down and focusing on one thing at a time, you get each individual thing done faster. You actually produce a lot more. Now, these interruptions are expensive. The average employee loses 2.1 hours a day. That's almost 25% of their annual work productivity is lost by distractions and interruptions. If you can find a way to reduce your work in progress and reduce the number of interruptions that you have, it's a very fast way to improve your overall performance. Fewer distractions, more focus. So let me ask you, what is it that gets in the way of your planning? I ask people this all the time, and you know what I hear? I hear things like, I don't have any time, I got too many things to do. Or, I'm just under too much pressure. Another thing I hear is, people interrupt me with emergencies that prevent me from making progress. and finally, I often hear, well, I make plans, but my plans get blown up by my boss, so I've learned not to bother making plans at all. And we said at the beginning of this lesson that President Eisenhower had said that planning was indispensable. And what I want to encourage you to do is think a little bit about how you think about your work. It's the difference between working in your business and working on your business. Now, I know that as you're listening to this, you may not be a business owner today, but I would suggest to you that you are selling you every day. And your business, maybe you're an employee of a company, but your business is selling you and promoting you. And so you working in your business versus working on your business, the business of you. And the concept's pretty simple. If you're working in the business, it's like that Dunkin' Donuts commercial from many years ago where the guy would say, time to make the donuts. And he would go in and he would turn the crank to churn out as many donuts as he possibly could. Now, it's good from a productivity perspective, but the problem with that is that every day is pretty much like every other day, that every day has the same crank that needs to be turned. And when you're working in the business, it's repeating the processes that you put in place yesterday or even before yesterday. It can be effective to have clarity on what needs to be done, but it also might mean that you're not taking advantage of changes in the world. You might need to make some changes. And for example, I've got a client that has a team working on executing a process that was created a long time ago. A couple of times a week, they have to follow a checklist that's hundreds of items long, and if each item is not done exactly right and in the right sequence, the whole process fails. They're killing themselves by working in the business. In contrast, working on the business is thinking about how the business should be run, making time to evaluate not only what you do, but more importantly, why you do those things. For my client, I know that there have been many improvements over the years in systems and tools to automate complex processes. And if that process was actually automated, it would save the team a ton of time and energy. But it takes time and energy to redesign the process, so they've been living with the old process. And to make it worse for all of us, the challenge is that nobody ever yells at us for not planning. We get yelled at for missing a deadline, but when has planning ever had a serious deadline? Now, in today's lesson, we've talked about limiting work in progress to reduce the multitasking because that improves our performance. And we've talked about how sometimes we have to be intentional about making time to make things better by thinking deeply about what we're actually trying to accomplish and then redesign our daily work around those goals. Now, I want to spend just a few minutes in this lesson on goal setting. I don't, unfortunately, have at my command the time to cover the science of goal setting with you, but I do want to share a secret with you about achievement. Have you ever wondered about how valuable it might be to write down clear and specific goals? Well, I want to tell you to brace yourself, because I'm going to give you some numbers, and these numbers are going to blow you away. In the book, What They Don't Teach You in Harvard Business School, Mark McCormick cites a study. In 1979, they went to the graduates of Harvard Business School, people who got an MBA from Harvard, and they asked them, do you have clear, specific, written down goals? And I was stunned to hear this, but 84% of the students who graduated in 1979 had no goals. Now, I can't imagine. This is one of the toughest schools in the world, and here these people had no goals, but okay, they didn't. And yet they managed to complete Harvard Business School. 13% of the students had goals, but they had not committed them to paper. And then 3% had clear and specific written goals. Now, when the same group was interviewed again in 1989, the results were staggering. So the 84% had no written goals, right? They had no goals at all. There were 13% that had some idea what they wanted to accomplish, but they did not have written down goals. That group that had goals that weren't written down, on average, they were making 2 times as much money, double the money of the 84%. Just having an idea of a goal that you want to achieve puts you in a position to be much more successful. So you might ask, well, Tom, what about the 3%? Because we said 84 had no goals, 13 had some idea, but 3% had clear and specific written down goals. This is what shocked me. The 3% that had clear and specific and written goals, on average, were earning 10 times both other groups. On average, they were earning 10 times as much. All right, so how do we get our goals clear and specific and written down? I'm going to teach you something in the next couple of minutes that's going to be very useful, and you're going to be surprised at how easy it is and how quickly it works. I learned this from Brian Tracy. He calls it the quick list method, and here's what you're going to do. Remember I said at the beginning of the lesson you should get a piece of paper and something to write with? Well, this is exactly what you need it for right now. We're going to take 30 seconds, and what you're going to do is you're going to write down three goals for your life. They can be in any area of your life that you want. You can be have goals for whatever you want to do. These are your goals. I don't care what your goals are, and you don't have to worry about showing it to anybody else. This is for you. And here's the thing. The other people, they're so worried about themselves, they don't have time to worry about you. So here we go. Take your pen and your paper, and I'll give you 30 seconds, and during that 30 seconds, you're going to write down your goals. And the powerful thing about this quick list method is it's as reliable as if you had 30 minutes or 3 hours or 3 days. So go ahead. I'll wait. 30 seconds. Go. Ten seconds left. Five. Okay, time's up. So what made it on your list? Well, let me guess. You wrote down a health goal, a relationship goal, and a financial goal. Is that right? It's kind of a parlor trick because those are the three areas that people generally write things down when they talk about their goals. But these are your goals. These are the things that you said you want in life. So you know what you want, but it takes more than knowledge, right? Because knowledge isn't enough. I mean, everybody who smokes knows that smoking is bad for them, but they still smoke. And if it was all about knowledge, we'd all be skinny, right? I mean, we all know that if we eat less and we exercise just a little bit more than we do, we'd be in better health. And yet, well, we don't do it. So what is the key to changing your behavior? I mean, might it be knowing why you want to change? Or knowing exactly how to change, what exactly you need to do differently? Maybe it's willpower, or is it guilt that drives you to change, or something else? Well, change is hard. And as I said, we know that it takes more than knowledge. So how do we implement change? I mean, that's the million-dollar question. And I've spent some time studying this and learning from some experts, and here's what I've learned. One, change is hard. No question, change is definitely hard. Secondly, to form an intent to change, you have to know why. Why do you care? Why do you want to be healthier? Why do you want to earn more money? Why do you want your relationships to be better? And this is the painful thing, because what you're doing right now, it's working for you. Whatever results you're getting right now, you're getting them because of what you're doing, and for whatever reason, you feel like it's working. You know, I would like to be in better shape physically, but I like relaxing, and that's paying off for me. Even though it's not getting me the goal that I want, it is it's helping me right this minute because it feels good right this minute, right? So why do you want to change your habits? And then you're knowing why you intend to change. That's good, but it's not enough because we have to know we need to change. We have to intend to make a change, and then we need the opportunity to actually change. So looking at your list, are you willing to do the things that you need to do? And if so, then what are you going to do? And I want to talk for a second about baby steps, because baby steps are the key to implementation. Nobody goes from couch potato to marathon runner overnight. Does not happen. And so we're not talking about immediately changing. What we're saying is we want to make minor changes to the things we're already doing. A few years ago, Darren Hardy wrote a book called The Compound Effect, and it's the process by which we make small progress and we build on that small progress every day. It's the key principle behind this program, Lead Yourself First, that you will make a small investment each week, and over time, you're going to make amazing progress. So I have two exercises for you at the end of this lesson today. One you're going to do today, and the other you're going to do tomorrow. So the first one, you've got three big goals on your list, and I want you to encourage you to take 15 minutes today to spend just 5 minutes on each of those goals. I want you to identify three tiny little things that you could do to make those a reality in the next year. Not 100, not 10, just three things. That's it. And when I say baby steps, I mean tiny little steps. let's say that you decide to achieve your goal, you need to call 10 people. Well, I would say the first thing you want to do is list 3 people to call. Think of 3 people that you could call, making your steps super easy and super small. Now, when you do that, 3 things for each of those 3 goals, that makes a total of 9 baby steps that you're going to take, right? When you get those baby steps clear in your mind and get them written down, it does amazing things. And I don't have time to talk about the brain science behind this, but it works. So that's exercise 1. It'll take you 15 minutes today, and you'll be done with that. Exercise 2. This one starts tomorrow. It's simple, and it's even shorter than exercise 1. Grab your notebook. Open it up to a blank page and write down the 9 items. That's it. Just write down the 9 items. You do that every day for the next 30 days, and in a month, I want you to send me an email about what you've accomplished. Because if you do that, if you do just that, you will be amazed. This takes you about 2 minutes a day, and it is proven to lead to incredible results. So we're really at our action plan time, right? And you probably already created it, but I want to just recap a couple of things for you from today's lesson as we're landing the plane. We talked about slowing down to go faster, doing one thing at a time and not multitasking. We talked about how important it is to have a plan. We talked about thinking about why we do what we do, working on the business, not just in the business. And then we talked about clear and specific written goals and baby steps. So for your personal action plan, what are you going to apply, change, or teach? And maybe you're with the team as you're listening to this lesson, and I want to encourage you to take a few minutes to talk about what are the areas where we're doing a good job planning? What are some goals we have as a team that we really want to work on? And what are the baby steps we can take? And finally, I mentioned that you might want something more. You might want some more help on that. Well, I've got a coaching package that I call the Too Busy to Plan coaching package. And it's focused on helping you set specific goals and then work productively toward your achievement. We'll connect once a month for the next 4 months for a session. You're going to create your action plan, you're going to publish it, and you're going to track progress toward your goals. The cost is $199 a person, and during those 4 sessions, you're going to build momentum toward achievement that's going to surprise you. You'll get started and be in the habit of making progress that's going to lead to surprising accomplishments. Sound interesting? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.